So, Dr. Parsons had asked to have this brought on to the agenda about through lots. And I know Mr. Laydow is here tonight, I've talked about this as well. I will let Dr. Parsons speak here in a moment, but I know that we, how much of that was heard.
So, sorry, my mic was off. But I know that there had been some questions. We've had some cases with through lots. Just as a reminder, when we have these kind of general discussions, you know, try not to avoid any comments on specific cases that we've had in more general type terms. But I know Dr. Carson had some questions and certainly want to turn it over to him, if I may.
Thank you. I appreciate the item being placed on the agenda. I find through lots to be a curiosity in that as we explore cases and have discussion about cases, we tend to have conversations that focus on two fronts. And by having two fronts, we tend to receive requests for consideration because fronts tend to carry a larger setback requirement on it. And the curiosity for me is that a lot is a lot, and there should be a front, and there should be a back. And so what I'm hoping to do is to begin some conversation about, is there a process or a way in which we could have a greater degree of clarity about what is at front, and so that the applicant or applicants in the future could have a better understanding about it. But when I look at building envelopes that come before us, and they get further compressed because of two fronts, that raises a concern for me, because to me there's a front and there's a back, and because there's a road in front and a road in back, then I think we need to make a determination. When I say we, I speak in the general universe of the county as opposed to the Board of Adjustment, but I wanted to bring the issue more discussion.
I agree.
And I may give a little bit of background for the board. I know Mr. Hastings, it's the first meeting. Mr. Workman's been here before I was here. So we've got a broad scope of experiences here. Mr. Whitehouse actually pulled the original zoning code from the records. And the through lot definition actually goes back to when the code was adopted 50 years ago. And the term there is that it's two front yards that parallel on a road. I think the issue that's come up before this board when we have them has typically been where there's been a lot that is fronting, shouldn't say fronting, but the house faces an interior subdivision street, which typically has a 30-foot setback. But it also borders usually a major collector road or a larger road that it doesn't have a driveway to. And then it typically has a 40-foot setback or a 30-foot setback, depending on the nature of the road. And some of the older subdivisions, you will see that because there was no buffer requirement in the actual creation of the subdivision plan. The newer code now, when you create a subdivision, there's a buffer that goes all the way around it, so we don't have that problem with the newer lots, or we shouldn't have that problem with the newer lots. So there's kind of a finite number of these kind of lots, at least in the residential context that we see. What I do know from looking at these over the years, there are some lots, though, that have access on both roads. They may have a driveway going to both of them or some sort of access on both of them. I don't think we see that very often, but there are some that do have that, which is, I think, one of the reasons why when these kind of cases come up to the board, we often will ask them, do they have physical access to these points. I want Mr. Whitehouse to talk about it, because I know this has been something on staff's radar as to, you know, we may want to look at this and see if this is something that warrants further attention. Obviously, that would be a question for council to look at, but I know that it is something that's been on staff's radar. So, Mr. Whitehouse, I don't know if you wish to chime in.
Sure. So, so in terms of what can be looked at in terms of through lots, there are certainly other topics that we are looking at the moment in terms of setback and buffer requirements. That the one that's certainly pressing in my mind is swimming pools, which is something that we've been talking about for some time. So there is the potential option of widening that discussion slightly to look at what could be accommodated on a through lot. Looking at what the purpose of through lots are and what they do in terms of their function and whether it has a front or two fronts or whether it should have a front and a rear. I think going forward, new lots that are created in cluster subdivisions, as Mr. Sharp's pointed out, that this will be less of an issue because where you have a buffer surrounding a lot and then you have a lot and a buffer and then a road at the rear, it would not be a through lot, so that lot in that scenario would benefit from a front yard and a rear yard. For some of these older lots that are not within cluster subdivisions, the code currently requires that they have two front yards, and I was not here in 1970 when that came into effect, so I cannot speak to the intent behind it, but I can speak to the intent behind form-based codes, which are well-trodden and used in many jurisdictions nationwide, and through lots is something that you see in almost every form-based code nationwide, that the intent and purpose of that was to foster a high-quality public realm by having some spacing on the front and then having an additional front on the rear where you have that public realm. So there is a design emphasis behind it, but that's not to say that nothing can be permitted there. So I think the answer going forward is, could we explore, for example, some of the more common features that we see, sort of fences and accessory structures in the front yard, potentially avoiding the need to come before the Board of Adjustment for a variance? There might be something we can explore on that front to reduce the number of applications that you see. So,
And recall, though, that through lots aren't just something that is applicable to residential properties. I think there's a fair amount of commercial properties that also would have a through lot component to them. I know there's some that have a through lot and a corner front. I mean, they're kind of on those kind of corners and they loop around. So we do have to be, you know, whenever we look at these code revisions, and we did some a couple years ago with the small lot ordinance and some administrative ordinances, there's some effectively some cleanups, which we learn over the years. We often have to be careful about unintended consequences, and that's always something that I know staff looks at. So it has been on the radar, and I suspect it will continue to be on the radar.
Right. Yeah. But my concern was with the residential applications primarily. I certainly understand the commercial side.
I certainly think it's something that we could look at if we're looking at in the whole other potential tweaks to the code. Swimming pools was one that was looked at, and this is a section of the code where we've seen applications. So I think absolutely we can certainly give some thought to that going forward. And I'm eager to hear the board's thoughts.
None of them are the same. It's like a different situation every time.
The only thing that seemed to be consistent for me was that the allowable space to build was reduced because of the definition of two fronts. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason I bring it.
And access from one side as opposed to the other.
Is the setback exist for a safety reason as far as distance from the road?
So when you go back and you look at the code, I mean, this is a term that goes back to when the code was created. I don't know that it was necessarily contemplated in that discussion because I think it was adopted as a holistic ordinance. So I'm not sure it's ever been something, and I could be wrong on this, but I'm not sure it's ever been something that's really been discussed at a level of, you know, do we need to maybe change it or tweak it to accommodate some properties that maybe there's these unintended consequences that this has, where there's a building envelope that's really small because of the impact of it.
I know I've been on the board a while. When we had the changes like that, I know things changed now, but when they brought it to us before and had a through lot, most time the county would say, this is the busiest road or not, this is your front lot, the front, and this is your back. Well, some people would say, no, this is my front of my house, and this is the back. But most time we come here, the county would tell us where's the front and where's the back. Now, that's when it was Lawrence and Janelle. I mean, guys don't remember, you know, Janelle you do, but Lawrence was always, had, you know, would tell us where it was at. That's the way I understood it. I mean, yeah. But I know that things have changed now.
Yeah, it's certainly up to the interpretation of the director, but when you do look at how the code is written, it talks about the through lot and what is the front and the approximation of it. And I think that's where, you know, potential tweaks to make it clear for people wouldn't be necessarily a bad idea.
I mean, I think, Jenny, you've been here the whole time I've been here, but I think you always brought it to our attention where we had a look at.
I think we would discuss the different,
the
like
difference.
How they would access the property.
Yes.
But they were still always held to that greater setback because of the route.
To that, yes. Yeah. And we would go from there.
It would just be something.
Mm-hmm. But I think, I'm like Dr. Yeah. Carson, I think we have to look at that. I mean,
definitely.
Well, I think staff will do that, and you know we can see what maybe there's some tweaks that could be made. And, you know, certainly, that's a legislative question for council, but you know, your input is. I think us at the staff, and I think you at the board often go. We're getting a lot of these kind of the same type. You know, maybe that's where we should look at the code and go: is our code. Does it need to be reflected? I mean, we had that issue with like Swan Keys and Cape Windsor for many years. We would get cases galore, and then I think it kind of recognized that maybe the small lot ordinance should be applying in some of those cases. So
I think what you've done, what the county's done and changed, helped the board adjustment a lot. And what you have changed, and it's really great what you've done.
I think it's helped a lot of people too. You know, people don't have to come to the board for a public hearing on mm-hmm. something that maybe could have been avoided. So.
Yeah. Thank you for exploring.
I did want to bring up, we have at a future meeting, I think it's the next meeting, we will be discussing meeting times. I know we've got three people in the farming industry, and we had talked about summer hours, so we always bring that back up in February, March. That'll be on a future agenda, either in the next meeting or the meeting after. And then we, as you also know, you know, Chair McGee resigned. Mr. Williamson was the vice chair, so he's kind of assumed the acting chair role. Now that we have a full complement of the board, we would do a vote for officers to get us through the until our annual meeting, reorganization meeting in July. So I just want to let you know that's coming up.
Will that be something we'll discuss in additional business, or will that be?
That would probably be at the beginning of the agenda, you know, like when we do the reorganization. So
that'll be posted.
Yes. Yeah. It'll. What's that?
Put it on the next agenda.
It'll be on the next agenda.
That's
so. We want to make sure we had the full complement of the board before we, you know, that way we have, if you know, the chair, whoever the chair is, we have a process of who's sitting in the seat in that case. So. I have nothing further.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No.